Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Mr. Bartender, please don't be so slow. I got time for one more round and a six pack to go. Tomorrow morning, Sunday, I'm gonna be feeling low. So please, please, bartender, I want a six pack to go. I've been drinking all day long, taking in the town. I've done spent my whole paycheck just a honky talking round. I don't have enough to pay my rent, I ain't gonna worry though. I got time for one more round and a six pack to go. Bartender, please don't be so slow. I got time for one more round and a six pack to go. Tomorrow morning, Sunday, I'm gonna be feeling low. So please, please, bartender, I want a six pack to go. I've been drinking all day long, taking in the town. I've done spent my whole to go.
Whoa. Hank Thompson, Los Brazos Valley Boys there. James Bostic here, Conservatives Perspective. Tuesday, yeah, it's Tuesday, and we are doing this. I got a little confused there for a minute. It's Patriot Nation Radio. It's Patriot Nation Radio Network here at Blog Talk Radio. And you can find us at blogtalkradio.com. You can also find us at the links that are liberally besprinkled throughout the world wide web of danger and intrigue known as the internet. Tuesdays, Thursdays live, 7 p.m. Eastern time. That's when all this crap goes down. And we have a recorded version of the program Sundays, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We do that at Mojo50 Radio. Mojo50.com. You can go there and you can listen to the programs as they're being streamed, or you can go back and listen to them in their archive form, either one. And they also have an app for iHeartRadio, iHeartRadio.com. Well, what's up? You guys doing okay? It's it's been a pretty good day for me. It's a real good weekend. Spent the largest portion of it in a place called Jackson's Mill, West Virginia, the home place of world-renowned artillerist and Confederate military leader Thomas Stonewall, old blue light, Jackson, Thomas Jonathan Jackson. Jackson's Mill, as most of you know, I am a Civil War reenactor, have been one for a long, long time. And I am in the artillery, so we shoot cannons. And if you've ever been to a Civil War reenactment, well, if they've had some cannons there, then you know what I'm talking about. And every year, 2 years, we get together. Most of the time we do it every year because it's just a fun event. And there is a school, a National Civil War Artillerist Association school. The national school for the association takes place in Jackson's Mill. And we had it this weekend. Great time. Got to see a lot of people you don't normally see. Lots of camaraderie, lots of fellowship. Just a spanking good time. So we did that. That was a lot of fun. And while I was gone, I come back Sunday and looking around through stuff, and yesterday and today as well. And this is great. And this one, you know, we've been doing, and I got to admit, I have a tendency Any of you guys that know me, I have a tendency to be a little monomaniacal. Once I get locked onto a certain subject or a certain topic or a certain thing, I zero in on it, and it's like a dog with a bone. Sometimes it's hard for me to let go. And we've been doing a lot of that with the Mueller report and all the things that have been happening concomitant with that. But, to be fair, this is a huge story. It really is. It's a great, big, old, tangled up, weedy story that's got a lot of bad actors in it, and we've talked about a bunch of them, inside the government, outside the government, who mean this president, this presidency, this administration and its supporters, and fundamentally the country in general, no goodwill. They mean us harm. And, there's a lot of different ways we could say it or whatever you want, however you want to paint that picture. But the bottom line, and it may sound a bit simplistic, it's us against them. And them is no good. I keep telling you, man, watch Captain America, the Winter Soldier. It is Hydra, the deep state Hydra, synonymous. You just one name for the other. You just change your name. But there is something, there are some positive outcomes. Number one, this stuff is all unraveling now. And it's unraveling because of the stupidity and the carelessness of the conspirators. In their arrogance, they were positively convinced Hillary Clinton was going to be president. We're not going to have to worry about dotting I's and crossing T's. Guys, it's cool. Don't sweat it. The fix is in. This entire game is in the bag. You get me? But it wasn't. And so now, over the last couple of years, all this stuff is coming, it's all coming out now. And for the last 2 years, from CNN and other places, but primarily a lot of it was CNN, but all the voices, there were many, many voices in this chorus, many voices. And here's a lot of what they had to say over and over again. We heard it for 2 years.
Donald Trump's done. He's done. There's no question about that. He's done.
Breaking news.
It's a bombshell.
Today is a turning point. Today was historically bad for President Trump.
Today was a turning point.
A turning point.
We're at a turning point here.
The beginning of the end for the Trump presidency.
The beginning of the end.
And breaking news.
We have another bombshell.
Mike Pence might have to assume the office of the presidency.
The call for impeachment.
Rumblings of the word impeachment.
Breaking news.
Another bombshell out of the White House.
I believe this is the beginning of the end.
I do too.
It's really the beginning of the end.
The beginning of the end.
He may be feeling the walls closing in on him.
All the walls closing in on him.
The walls closing in on him.
Breaking news, a new bombshell.
One astrologer says this means the beginning of the end for President Donald Trump.
The beginning of the end of the Trump presidency.
Trump will resign.
Trump is going to resign.
Is this the tipping point? I know we've said it over and over.
You think this is a tipping point?
And over and over.
This is a tipping point.
And over and over.
Breaking news, President Trump off the rails.
It was the beginning of the end today.
The beginning of the end.
It reminds me a lot of the last days of Nixon.
Breaking news tonight, new bombshell.
This is the beginning, not the end.
The beginning of the end.
The walls are closing in.
The walls closing in.
The walls closing in.
Breaking overnight bombshell.
This is a very dramatic day, and I think it might be near a tipping point. Do you think this is a tipping point?
This is unbelievable. This is remarkable. Have you ever seen anything like this?
His presidency is crippled.
December 1st, 2017, you can mark it down. This is the day that everything changed.
We begin with the bombshell.
The beginning of the end.
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 In fact, if this were a football game, we're in the third quarter. May even be the beginning of the end.
We begin tonight with the bombshell.
Donald Trump is in a lot of trouble.
Trump is in trouble.
The president will resign.
Another hour, another bombshell.
This is a tipping point.
Trump's going down.
This president
could be impeached.
I do not think the president will serve out his term.
Resignation.
Resignation. I don't think this president is going to serve out his term. Mr. Trump will not serve out his term.
He will not serve out his term.
No way. No how.
Breaking news.
Absolute bombshell.
I think Donald Trump is in trouble.
Donald Trump is not. He's done. And it's over.
It's over.
The wall's closing in.
Oh, the wall's closing in.
This is going to be the Achilles heel.
Breaking news tonight. I expect Trump to depart.
This week will be the watershed week.
Trump is in big trouble.
Trump's in a lot of trouble.
It's a sign of a terrified old man who feels the
walls
closing in.
The walls
are increasingly
closing in on him.
Tonight, the walls
are closing in.
Today changed everything. This is the beginning of the end.
Today, the biggest
tipping point for the Trump administration.
What a historic day. The bombshells, they fell.
It's entropy and it's crumbling internally.
He's underwater. He feels
the walls closing in.
Could his testimony be a turning point?
We may be at a tipping point.
It's the beginning of
the end.
The beginning
of the end.
Another bombshell.
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 This is a bombshell.
It is a bombshell.
I am beginning to resent the word bombshell.
So, I think you get the idea. And for 2 years, that's what we've been subjected to. And, you know, it came from ABC, it came from CBS, MSNBC, headline news on CNN, you know, everywhere, okay? National Public Radio, PBS, all the alphabet soups, even from the drifting left, fundamentally dead to me now, Fox News Network. And there were a lot of people across the media spectrum. They were all in on this. I mean, when I say they were all in, they were totally invested. And probably in as much as they needed to be as operatives of a political media propaganda arm, which is what most of them are, really. 2 years. Now, that clip was like 3 minutes and change. 3 minutes, 15, 20 seconds, something like that. 2 years. We've been listening to that. And in the short span of about a month, we have found that none of it was true. Everything the president said from the get-go was right. Everything that CNN and the rest of these boobs has said was all wrong. And now some of these chickens are coming home to roost at CNN. And maybe, according to Thomas Lifson, from American Thinker, maybe President Trump ought to use the adjective failing in front of CNN instead of the New York Times. In point of fact, when it comes down to it, Trump hatred has been pretty good for the Times. Digital subscriptions up substantially. They made almost $700 million in revenue last year, which is huge from what they've been doing for the last three or four. So it became like the premier source of anti-Trump lust. But with CNN, the story's a little different. CNN, of course, as many people know, the network that pioneered cable news long, long ago, lost its dominant position to Fox News a long time ago as well. And since Donald Trump had become president, it had bet its future on the Russia collusion delusion. And they lost. And they lost big time. Their ratings dropped in comparison to April of last year, 26%, according to Nielsen Media Research. Excuse me. Nielsen's been around for a long time. They've been doing TV viewer ratings fundamentally since there's been TV. MSNBC's ratings down 14% in April of this year compared to April of last. Fox overall, flat. They didn't really change, give or take, either way. Here's how it comes out. And it comes out like this. The bottom line, CNN, an embarrassing, distant third. Fox finishes first, right at 2.4 million viewers. April of last year, about 2.4 million. MSNBC, second, with an average of 1.66 million, down almost 2 million from April 2018. CNN, now this is every night. This is not in the afternoon. This is not for one show. This is total. Primetime viewers, every night. From 8 to 11, 8 to midnight, whatever that is. CNN, third, 767,000 average primetime viewers, down from 1.4 million this time last year. The odds are now you probably are more inclined, or you have a better chance of knowing a prostitute than you do of knowing someone who is a primetime. See, this is a country of billions of people, only 676,000 of them. We're watching CNN. And I know a lot of you don't watch CNN. And that's where I want to talk to you about this thing. Holy cow. Man, I just drooled Kool-Aid all over me. They're called carriage fees. I don't watch CNN either. I don't watch MSNBC. I don't watch ESPN because of their racist crap. And all, you know, just so many things that just resonate negative with me. But they still get my money. Okay, everybody, let's say on the average, you're paying $180 on a cable bill. Some places more, some places much more for your internet and your cable and all the crap you watch. Okay, well, you're going to teach CNN a lesson because number one, you're a good American. Number two, you don't believe any of that drivel. And number three, you're just not going to give them the time of day. So you do not watch them. And you are to be commended for that. But you're dirty, tricky, sneaky, nasty, underhanded, slimy, crooked telecable provider is taking about $4, $6 out of that $180, $200 that you're paying to them, and they're sending that to CNN. They're sending a few more bucks over here to MSNBC. They're sending it to ESPN. It's called a carriage fee. They're subsidizing through you paying fundamentally for these package group, you know, these package deals that have most of the channels you like and maybe a bunch of channels you don't like, but you got to suffer through it to get what you want. That money goes to subsidize CNN. That money goes to subsidize headline news. That money goes to subsidize MSNBC. Seriously, he's done a lot of work on it over at Breitbart. John Nolte, N-O-L-T, cut the cable. We've talked about it on this program before. Cut the cable. It doesn't matter if you don't watch them. How on earth could CNN stay alive with even with all the advertising? How could they stay alive and maintain the budget that they have on 750,000 viewers, 767,000? Yeah, 767,000 viewers. How are they going to pay all these top names, all these people that are contributors that come on their program, all these lavish sets and the blurbs and the special effects and all that crap? How are they going to pay for all of Don Lemon's pancake makeup. They got to be subsidized. And if you're paying telecable bills, they're taking it from you. A few years ago, I wound up back in my hometown by myself and was trying to get reestablished in my life. And there were some things, you know, that I had to look at from a budget standpoint. Telecable was one of them. It was a necessity for me. However, it cured me. Whatever I wanted to watch, I could watch streaming on the internet somewhere. And with the advent of Roku and subscription TV, I don't need television in that classic sense. I go digital. So, but anyway, cut the cable. You can too, cut the cable. And this is what's happening. And the reason it's taking me so long to get to this is where people are cutting the cable and they're going with Fire Stick or they're going with Apple TV or they're going with Roku, you know, whatever the service is, and they're going online services. Television subscription through telecable services is falling like a stone. Now, it's not only that. It's not only people cutting the cable. CNN sucks. I mean, that's all you can say. So yesterday, a plan was unveiled that shows CNN is cutting costs and, more importantly, downsizing its staff. They're planning to cut up to 300 jobs, many of them being older employees with years at the network. According to FTV Live, that's a website that monitors the TV industry, they say the word is that just under 200 people will just be out and out pink slipped, laid off, and just over 100 will be offered a buyout. Most of the staffers at CNN call this a massive brain drain because it's all the older heads that are getting, you know, getting put on the chopping block. Have we ever talked about grape Kool-Aid? I love that. Now, a brain drain is really, of all the things, that's the last thing really that CNN needs. But the thing is, employees who've been around a while, older employees tend to be a little bit more expensive than the youngsters that Barack Obama's national security chief, Ben Rhodes, bragged about how easily he could manipulate. He once said about these guys, he said, you know, the average reporter that we talk to is about 27 years old, and their only reporting experience consists of being around political campaigns. That's a sea change. They literally know nothing. Now, with that in mind, we'll be able to expect even more from CNN of the PAP that's tanked its ratings. And as a lot of companies do, CNN is facilitating a move to a new location as an opportunity to divest itself of some employees. Now, Brian, oh God. CNN's media correspondent, Brian Seltzer, you know what I'm talking about? That George Costanza looking clown? All right. There's a rumor making the rounds today, this is his twit, about big impending layoffs at CNN. A CNN spokeswoman is knocking it down on the record. No layoffs. There were voluntary buyouts throughout the organization, and about 100 people opted for it. Now, is Brian Seltzer, is he going to take a pink slip? No. He's not going to take a buyout either. Is Chris Cuomo going to do that? Is Don Lemon, is he going to do that? Nah. It's going to be the more anonymous mid-level and lower cats that will suffer the heat on this. So they're gonna it's they've driven away. Seriously, when this happens, you know, and you see ratings drops like this, they are driving away their viewership. Literally. And it's only through these carriage fees that I was telling you about that they're able to maintain any, you know, semblance of an appearance of being a major player news-wise, but they're really not. They're really not. Honestly, I can't remember what it was. It might have been on Drudge, but I did see there's a better chance that you know someone who's a prostitute than you do someone who is a primetime CNN viewer. Voluntary buyout. Everywhere I've gone, voluntary buyout means the same thing as a layoff. You're just volunteering for it. You're just opting for it. Oh, well, I'll tell you what let's do. We're a little bit early, but I'm a little bit dry, so I need to get something to drink, and we're going to go to the brief musical interlude of the program a little sooner than we normally do. This is James Bostic with a conservative's perspective right here. It's Patriot Nation Radio Network, since it is Tuesday, and we're live here, Blog Talk Radio, Patriot Nation Radio Network. And we will be back right after this.
Do that.
I come back to New Orleans, 'cause that's the only place I've been. Where the hell's so thick and sweet, feels like Lebanon's around me. Lazy trees and ocean breeze, rainy evenings listening, the music oozing out of every door. It's like my heaven made the order inside the border of the quarter. Lord, ain't no place like I've ever been before. I used to watch and wonder at the ones who sing the blues and try to find out why they want to get so low. But even though I can't explain it now, I join them when they're singing. And when the song is over, there's a lot so low. There's something about the way the women walk in New Orleans. Or maybe it's just me, 'cause I'm in love with all I've seen there. Bedroom by the balcony, laughter lifting from the street, forgetting what my pocket watch is for. It's like my heaven made the order inside the border of the quarter. Lord, ain't no place like I've ever been before. Get so low. But even though I can't explain it now, Johnny when it's singing, and when the song is over, God, oh Lord, I come back to New Orleans, 'cause that's the only place I've been. It's so thick and sweet, it feels like loving arms around me. Lazy trees and ocean breeze, rainy evenings listening to music oozing out of every door. It's like my heaven made the order inside the border of the quarter. Lord, ain't no place like I've ever been before.
Thank you. Oh, Johnny, are you? Oh, tea, do you sweet? Oh, sugar and spice and everything nice depends on you. Oh, Johnny, are you? Oh, dreamy complete? Who goes with those eyes that kiss my thighs? Johnny, are you? You got a tiny little bit of heaven in your fingertips. You got a rest of heaven on your sugar-coated lips. Who's gonna get you some Sunday go meeting? Whose little heart needs what's for keeping? Johnny, are you? Rest of heaven, honey, sugar coated lips. Who's gonna get you some sign to go meeting? Who's little heart leaves and wants for keepers? Honey, are you?
I want to go back to my little grass shack in Calico, Hawaii. I want to be with all the Connies and Wahinas that I knew long ago. I can hear all guitars a-playing on the beach at Ho'onana. I can hear the Hawaiians say, Komo mai no kauka I kailewelakao.
It won't be long till my ship will be sailing back to Kona. A grand old place that's always fair to see. I'm just a little Hawaiian and a homesick island boy. I want to go back to my fishing point.
I
want
to go back, back to my little grass shack in Kalakakua, Hawaii. Where the humu humu no kuno kalapu
I go swimming by.
Where the humu humu no kuno kalapu
I go swimming by.
Long till my ship will be sailing back to Kona.
A grand old place that's always fair to see.
I'm just a little Hawaiian and a homesick island boy. I want to go back to my fishing port. I want to go back to my little grass shack in Kalakakua, Hawaii.
I go swimming by.
Where the homo homo no ko no ko apu, I go swimming by.
Did you make a memorandum of your conversation?
Huh?
Did you make a memorandum?
No, I didn't.
Or did anyone else?
What?
Did anyone, either you or anyone on your staff, memorialize your conversation with Robert Mueller?
Yes.
Who did that?
There were notes taken of the call.
May we have those notes?
No.
Why not?
Why should you have them?
Ha ha ha.
Oh, that's good stuff. That was from last week. The inquisitor there with Attorney General William Barr was Richard Donang Dick Blumenthal. He was a Vietnam-era veteran who lied and stole valor and claimed that he was a Vietnam combat veteran. He wasn't anywhere near Vietnam, and he's just out and out liar, typical Democrat politician. So this was from the hearing last week when Dick Blumenthal and the other members of the House Judiciary Committee took turns grandstanding and lambasting Attorney General Bill Barr. And he does what he does. He's not afraid of these guys. And what we just heard there shows he's not afraid of these guys. During his confirmation hearings, one of these senators was bloviating, one of these Democrat senators was bloviating about something. And as he was getting ready to ask Bill Barr a question, Bill Barr cut him off and said, "I'm sorry, Senator, your 5 minutes are up." This guy, I really don't think, is going to be intimidated or cowed by the people who are desperate to get him out of the way and have him replaced with someone whom they could more easily intimidate or manipulate. I don't think it's going to happen. So after his first day's testimony last Wednesday at the House Judiciary Committee, he didn't go back. He knew what was going to go on. It was going to be more of the same and probably even more asinine and lunatic than it was the day before. So he said, "Forget it. Thanks, but no thanks. I am going to go talk to the Senate guys because they apparently have brains and seem to be a little more normal. So I'm going to go check them out and see what's going on. Let me know when you guys get a cure." So Gerald Nadler, Jerry the Jowl Nadler, who is head of the House Judiciary Committee, starts bloviating about contempt and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And we want what we want. We want it when we want it. And when do we want it? Well, rather than tell you that, we're just going to complain about not having it. In a nutshell, they've been given a minimally redacted report. The original report was minimal, considerably minimal in its redactions. And they gave the Judiciary Committee, the House Judiciary Committee, a copy of an even less redacted report. The guys haven't even read it. They haven't even read it. And he needs to go ahead and bring us the unredacted report. And we're not going to look at anything else. And if he doesn't do it, we're going to find him in contempt. Arr, me hearties, arr. Well, Gerald Met, he's a joke, okay? All these guys that are doing this stuff, that are screaming all this stuff in the headlines, we need to impeach him, we need to do this. Eric Swalwell, Mad Maxine Waters, Jerry the Jowl, you know, all these people that scream collusion and they scream impeachment, Adam Schiff, all these other bug-eyed creepers that are out there doing this. It's smoke. Doug Collins, and we've had clips from Representative Collins before. He's on here. We have him with, I think it was probably Sunday. He was with Harris Faulkner, Fox News. Let's see if we can find that here. Yeah, here it is. On her show, one of the Sunday news shows on Fox, talking about this contempt, flatulence in a whirlwind. This is from, I guess, Sunday. Ranking House Judiciary member from Georgia, Representative Doug Collins.
Trump and Hillary Clinton's emails during the 2016 presidential.
Start with just this notion of how risky this possibly could be
for Democrats if the answers after seeing even more of the report still come out, no collusion and a question about obstruction.
It's not just risky, it's the fact. I mean, Robert Mueller is going to testify to exactly what was in the report. And if my Democratic colleagues would have cared to read the report, it appears that some of them haven't read the report, and I know they haven't read the less redacted report in which the Attorney General made the accommodations for, they'll find that there was no collusion, no charge obstruction, and it's exactly what Robert Mueller would testify to. I think it is amazing to me here how quickly the Democrats want to go down a path that they know they can't go on, simply to have press releases, simply to tar and sort of throw dirt at a president that they don't like. This is just unprecedented in this term that they're moving so quickly to a contempt proceeding.
So if we are going to hear from Bob Mueller, are you at all concerned about the letter that he sent William Barr or the conversations that they had expressing Bob Mueller's misgivings? Although he did primarily, from those conversations, blame the media's perception that they have put out there, the narrative. But are you concerned at all that that would come up?
No, I think the media ought to be concerned about it because that's exactly what the letter was concerning. It was concerning how this report was rolled out. It was not about the final findings. This is what everybody wants to rush past. Bob Mueller never questioned the Attorney General's findings. He never said that you're wrong. He was just saying, let's get as much out there because the press is manipulating this into something that it's not. And I think that's the correlation that we're looking at. And again, at the end of the day, the Democrats are simply going after President, frankly, for doing a good job. There's nothing to impeach here. There's nothing to bring any further investigations about. It has been finalized in the Mueller report. They can talk about it all they want. They can bring anybody in they want. But at the end of the day, it is simply them chasing after an election they lost in November 2020.
Congressman Collins, I want to hear from the president on this because it seemed to be a shift a bit in terms of who's in charge of whether or not Mueller should testify. Before, it was AG Barr would make that decision, and then the president said this.
Mr. President, should Mueller testify? Would you like to see him testify?
I don't know. That's up to our Attorney General, who I think has done a fantastic job.
Just this weekend, the president saying that he shouldn't testify, Bob Mueller. What's different?
Nothing is different except this president expressing the frustration of not only himself but of millions of people in America who are tired of the Democrats' demagoguery over this. They're tired of the Democratic circus, and all you have to do is watch my chairman try to lead a committee through what was really turned into nothing but a travesty last week when they can't even decide what they want. They're rushing. This is 12 times. I want to put it in perspective for you, Harris. They're doing this 12 times faster than the Republicans held Eric Holder in contempt. Over 460-something days before the Republicans held Eric Holder in contempt for not complying with subpoenas, we're looking at less than 43 days here. My question is do you dislike the president that much? Do you dislike the findings of the Mueller report that much that you're trying to solve every other way to get the American public focused on the fact that you don't have an agenda for America, that you don't have anything to put forward, and you would rather just attack this president, who is, by the way, look at the economy, look at the lowest unemployment in 50 years, look at all the things that are happening. They want to distract you from that to focus on something they know has already been settled in the report.
Well, and my question would be, who are they advocating for? Can we pop up that NBC Washington, or rather Wall Street Journal poll, which shows that the Mueller report has not changed Americans' minds at all about no. whether it clears the president of wrongdoing? I mean, the numbers are solidly the same. So what is the advocacy here by Democrats?
The advocacy is for a 2020 election. They have very liberal candidates who do not match with middle America. They do not match with the conservative and also just the independent voters in this country. They know that their message is off, so they're trying to distract and they're trying to tear down a president. By doing so, they're also trying to tear down an attorney general who made the right call, who presented everything that he was supposed to. At this point in time, the question is how many Democrats will they go after? How many people the Democratic Party will try to go after to make their point? And what we're finding right now is as long as it's against the president, they don't care.
All right.
And again, they're rushing to judgment.
I want to get this in, though. Some Republicans with whom I've spoken say that they do have a couple of questions, though, for Bob Mueller. And bringing him up would not be a problem at all because they do want to know, why didn't you fall up or down on obstruction?
Oh, thank you for that. I mean, I want to ask Bob Mueller. I want to know not only the obstruction issue, but I want to go back to further. Did he actually go through the basis for this investigation? Did he actually dig into the underlying evidence of what we've seen from the cabal of Strzok and Page and Comey and going back into how we got to the Russia investigation at all? We see a little bit of it in the Mueller report, but my question is, did you question how this even started? And if so, how did you do it? This is where it goes back to. This was nothing but a bunch of folks that you and I have talked about and many others through the transcripts we've released. least, that say there was a problem in the whole beginning here. Bob Mueller could answer a lot of those questions, and that's the question that I want to answer him. He's already answered the final. No collusion, no charge of obstruction.
Well, we have the report.
I want to go back and... Exactly. I want to go back and find out what did he do on the proceeding.
And I know from Kellyanne Conway, special counsel to the president, that that's how they see it, that Mueller's already spoken. But you agree that there are some further questions that could be asked if he testified. Representative Collins, always great to see you. Thank you for being with me.
Thanks, Harris. Good to be with you as well.
Hello? Okay, there we are. Yeah, I really do think, and I don't know, it just seems to me it's like these guys, well, you know what? It is. All these things that are happening now in the aftermath of the Mueller report with calling the attorney general in to testify. Calling him a liar. Nancy Pelosi called him a liar. That shameless, evil. He was castigated and beat up by those people. And here's why. You want to know why? They have to do all this stuff. Gerald Nadler has to do what he's doing. All these House Democrats have to do these things and say these things. All these people in the news networks that have been so totally down with this, they don't have any choice. They got to ride this thing all the way out because they had no plan B. Not at the time. I mean, they got a plan B, C, and D now, but they never suspected, never dreamed in their wildest dreams in a million years of a million dreams that Donald Trump would win the election. That was simply beyond the pale of lucid thought for these guys. They had worked so hard to rip Bernie Sanders and his supporters off and fix the DNC so that profane, corrupt, wine-swilling old crone could have a shot at the presidency. Because it was her turn, damn it. And it may still be her turn. There are 22 people running for president in the Democrat clown car. 22 now. Two other nameless boobs joined the race that nobody's going to know anything about. Personally, I think it's a money-making scheme. I think all these guys are in it to mine for a little bit of gold dust. What happens to all that campaign money when the campaign's over and you don't win? Well, it's part of the lovely parting gifts that they have for you backstage. Bernie Sanders' book was a piece of crap. A 3-year-old with crayons would have made more sense in a political tone. He didn't become a millionaire from that. He became a multimillionaire from his campaign for president, from the money that his wife fleeced from Berlin College in Vermont. A nice, successful, well-established little junior college. She got the big pants idea, and she bankrupted the place and closed it down. Nothing's going to happen to her. So a lot of this, I think, is a money-making scheme. And the bigger your name, the bigger the player you are, the more money you're going to make before you lose out to either that crazy old socialist Bernie or just plain old crazy old Joe. Who else has got the juice? Nobody. Nobody. Biden is leading in the polls, but he doesn't have a whole lot of money. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. The Treasury Department says ixnay to Congress's request to look at Donald Trump's tax returns. They said, no, We don't do that. You know why? Because it's against the law, you idiots. Now, if you would like to learn or find out more as to how the IRS conducts investigations into presidential candidates and their tax returns, we're committed to helping you understand it. But we're not going to give you the cat's W-2s. Don't be an idiot. And I think they know they're not going to get it, but it doesn't hurt to ask. And it keeps alive the inference in the narrative that somehow Donald Trump's a crook. No plan B. Because they thought Hillary Clinton was going to win. And now they got a guy who says, yeah, this investigation was a bunch of crap, but what I'm really, you know, and that's all over with, we're not going to look at that. What I want to look at now is, how did this begin? Who came up with the idea, based on what, that this was the way you needed to go? And ever since he said that, ever since he said, well, yes, I believe that there was spying on the Trump campaign, they have been flipping out. They're calling for his impeachment. They're saying he can't be trusted. He's the president's attorney. He's this. He's that. He's anything but what he is, which I believe to be basically a man of integrity who abides by the Constitution and will let that be his guide as to what happens next, I hope. Sometimes with these cats, it's hard to tell. You think they're going to do a good job. You have high hopes for them. But then something about Washington gets them. And they don't, you know, your heroes turn out to have feet of clay. Hopefully Bill Barr won't be that kind of guy. Time will tell. It certainly doesn't look that way now. But we don't know. We don't know. But a lot of this has happened, and plus the fact, like I said, there's no plan B, and these people are totally, 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 totally blinded by vengeance in their hatred for Donald Trump and what he's doing for the country. And people, what he's doing for the country is good news. What he's doing in the judges that he is appointing to courts, circuit courts, and appeals courts all over this country are very good things. Anybody in this country who really wants a job can get a job. Any black guy that wants a job can get a job. Any Asian guy that wants a job can get a job. Any Puerto Rican dude, any Mexican guy, any white guy. If you want a job, you can get a job. It hasn't been that good job-wise in 50 years. Not just for white people, for everybody across the board. It doesn't matter what your color is, doesn't matter what your age is, doesn't any of that matter. That is a solid economy. This is the economy that the smartest cat in the room told you could never happen. 3.2 gross domestic product. That's big. That's really, really big. The smartest cat in the room told us we'd never see that again. He was wrong.
Well, you know what I tell you? Been kind of a long day, and I'm about out of gas anyway.
So I guess we'll just go ahead and cut it off there. We do this live Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern time, through the Patriot Nation Radio Network here at blogtalkradio.com. Blogtalkradio.com. You can go there, type in Patriot Nation Radio Network, and you'll see ACP Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern time. The recorded version of the show is on Mojo 50 Radio, mojo50.com. You go there, and you can listen to the shows as they're streaming live, or you can find them in their archived form. Cowboy Logic, Restoring America Forum. I'm an admin there, along with good friends Don New and Donna Fiducia. Hit that page on Facebook. It's a great place. You'll also want to check out Talk America Radio Texas, Talk America Radio Florida, Talk America Radio West Virginia, A Conservative's Perspective, and the archive page, Conservative Perspectives podcast page as well. Check all those places out. Hit the like button. You will be glad you did. We will. You'll find a lot of like-minded folks that are going to be happy to see you there. Okay, that's about it. I want to thank you guys for the opportunity to get to talk with you. And we will be back on Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern time, taking a look at things as we do through a conservative perspective. I'm James Bostic. This is ACP. God bless you. God bless America. We'll see you on Thursday.